define me, and I belong to you, and I belong to you. Oh, you call me out of darkness, and you silenced every lie, and no other voice will define me. Oh, I belong to you. Oh, I belong to you. Oh, no, the enemy can't take what I have. It can't change who I am. I belong to you. You know the enemy can't take what I have. He can't change who I am. I belong to you. By your blood I've been adopted, and I've taken on your name. And I need to be reminded that I belong to you. Oh, I belong to you. You know the enemy can't take what I have. Oh, he can't change who I am. I belong to you. You know the enemy can't take what I have. He can't change who I am. I belong to you. Greater are you who's in me than he who's in the world. The words you have spoken are stronger than the curse. Greater are you who's in me than he who's in the world. The words you have spoken are stronger than the curse. Greater are you who's in me than he who's in the world. The words you have spoken are stronger than the curse. Stronger than the curse. Oh, stronger than the curse. Stronger than the curse. Oh, you know the enemy can't take what I have. Can't change who I am. I belong to you. You know the enemy can't. He can't take what I have. And he can't change who I am. I belong to you. I belong to you. And I belong to you. No one can take from me my destiny. I belong to you. 'Cause I belong to you. And I belong to you. No one can take from me my destiny. I belong to you.
Father, thank you that you have bought us with a price, the price of your Son Jesus' blood. I thank you, God, that I have been redeemed. I have been bought. I am yours. Father, I am yours. I'm not my own, Lord. I am yours. I have surrendered all to you. I've surrendered all to you, Lord. That's why the enemy can't take what I have. And he can't change who I am. I belong to you. The enemy can't. He can't take what I have. He can't change who I am. I belong to you, and I belong. Father, I belong to you. I belong to you. And no one can take from me my destiny. I belong to you. Father, we are yours. We have surrendered all to you. This world has nothing that can satisfy us. This world has nothing that is better than you, Lord. If I've tasted the greatest thing, then what else is there? Why would I go back? Oh, you are the greatest. And if I've had a glimpse of who you are, then what else is there that could possibly persuade me to turn away from you, Father? Oh. This world could never satisfy the longing in my soul. When all is lost and hope is dry, when all I feel is cold, I'm coming back to your presence. I'm coming back to your presence. 'Cause there's a hunger, yeah, I'm a thirst. I am desperate. Immerse me. And I'm not waiting, not anymore. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. There's a hunger, yeah, I'm a thirst. I am desperate. Immerse me. And I'm not waiting, not anymore. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I feel it burning like a fire, stronger than before. You are the one that I desire. I couldn't ask for more. I'm coming back to your presence. I'm coming back to your presence. There's a hunger here on the thirst. I am desperate. Immerse me. And I'm not waiting, no, not anymore. And I need you, Lord. 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 I can't make it without you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Oh, oh. I need you, Lord. Sweep me away with you. I want to be with you, Lord. Sweep me away. Oh, sweep me away with you. 'Cause there's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate. Immerse me, and I'm not waiting, not anymore. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. There's a hunger and a thirst. I am desperate. Immerse me. And I'm not waiting. Not anymore. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Right where you're at, where you're standing in front of your chair, you just think about how much you need him, how much he's brought you through, how much he's delivered you. Oh, maybe you're looking for an answer and saying, Lord, I need you. Maybe you're looking for a solution and saying, Lord, I need you. He's the one with the answer. Oh, said those that hunger and thirst after him shall be filled. It didn't say that they might be. It says they shall be filled. But you have to be hungry for him. You have to call out to him. You have to desire him. And he's right there ready to pour it out on you. Ready to pour out, ready to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you, the blessing of his presence. Oh, there's a hunger, yeah, and a thirst, and I am desperate. Oh, immerse me, and I'm not waiting. Not anymore. Oh, I need you, Lord. 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 Oh, Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord. Oh. I need your love like I need water. I need your love like I need breath inside of my lungs, burning my heart just like a fire. Come and take me over, Jesus, draw me closer to your heart, your heart, your heart. I wanna be close, I wanna be close to your heart, your heart, your heart. I need your love like I need water. I need your love like I need breath in. Side of my lungs, burning my heart just like a fire. Oh, come and take me over, Jesus, draw me closer to your heart, your heart, oh, your heart. I wanna be close, I wanna be close to your heart, your heart, your heart. 'Cause I need you, Lord. How I need you. Oh, I need you. Oh, Lord, I need you. I need your love like I need water. I need your love like I need breath inside of my lungs, burning my heart just like a fire. Come and take me over, Jesus, draw me closer to your heart. Oh, to your heart. I want to be close to your heart, to your heart. Yeah. I want to know your heartbeat, Lord. I want to know what moves you. I want to know what breaks your heart. Oh, break our heart with the things that break yours. Oh, closer than my every breath, closer than my every step, closer than the song I sing, closer than anything, closer than my every breath, closer than my every step, closer than the song I sing, Lord, closer than anything. I want to be close to you. Like I need water, Lord. I need your love like I need breath inside of my lungs, burning my heart just like a fire. Come and take me over, Jesus, draw me closer to your heart. Father, in your word it says that the psalmist says that as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. Just like, Lord, if we was in a desert thirsting for water, that's how much I long for you, Father. My soul needs you. I need your presence in my life, Lord. I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. Oh, and I'm desperate for you. Oh, and I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence, living in me. This is my daily bread. That's what you are, Lord. You are my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. And yeah, I'm desperate for you. Oh, 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 yes, Lord, and I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your very holy presence, oh, living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word, oh, it's spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. Yes, and I'm lost without you. And desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. God, we're lost without you. Oh, God, we're desperate for you. This world around us is crumbling. And we'll crumble with it if we don't have you. God, if we don't have you at the center of our lives, if we don't have you as the hub of our lives, if you are not everything to us, God, then we'll be shaken just like this world is shaken. It says in the last day that even the elect will fall away, will be deceived. God, I want to be so close to you. I want to be so close to your heartbeat, Father, that there's nothing that can deter me. There's nothing that can distract me. That, God, you can just look and I can just watch your eyes and you can direct me. I can see my reflection in your eyes. Oh, because, God, I need you. I've tried this world without you. And I didn't make it. I need you. As we sung before, this world can't satisfy the things that I need. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. I've tasted and I've seen that you are good. And that's why I'm desperate for you. That's why I long for you. That's why I need your presence. Because there's nothing else that satisfies. Ooh. And I'm desperate for you. Oh, and I'm lost without you. You're the air that I breathe. Oh, Lord, I'm desperate for you.
desperation you meet us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for where we are, for our journey, for our salvation, Lord. Thank you, God, for hearing us when we cried for you. Thank you, Lord, for satisfying our hunger and our thirst in every way imaginable. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we ask tonight, Lord, that you would bless our time together. Father, I surrender this vessel to your will and to your word tonight, God. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would saturate this room. God, that it would take over every part of me and speak through me, God. I pray that your word and your message tonight go forward, Lord. And I pray that you prepare the hearts of your people to receive tonight, Lord. Father, that our eyes would be open and our hearts would be softened to the kingdom agenda that we are here to serve. Father, we thank you and we praise you and we welcome you in tonight. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Whew. Well, good evening, everybody. Make yourself known. Walk around. Say hi to somebody. Hug somebody's neck. I know most of us were doing that earlier. Wave across the aisle. Whatever you got going on. For those of you who are just wondering who I feel like sometimes my husband and Pastor Bob are twinsing because their wardrobe is enormously similar. And tonight I'm pretty sure they're twinning. But this is my husband, Eric. He doesn't get to come in service often. He watches online primarily. But this week he has been blessed with an opportunity for training, which happens during the day and not at night. So he's here tonight, and it's such an honor to have him with me as my support, and of course to be in my home family church. It's a good place to be. So I wanted to say this, and this is absolutely not related to what I'm going to talk about tonight at all, but Pastor Bob said something, I think it was last week. I don't remember if it was Wednesday or Sunday, forgive me, but he was talking about how he's aware that there are some people that think we should do things different here at Life Church, whether it be shorter services or whatever. And I'm just so grateful for a pastor who doesn't worry about what other people think, because something I learned a long time ago was that church is part about us and part for God. And worship is the part that's all for God. It's us singing his praises and being grateful and being thankful. And that's where we're pouring out all of our gratitude and our song to him. Why would we want to cut that short, right? And then the part where we're being taught, that's the part that, again, is for us. That's where we benefit from what's happening at church. And so I'm just so grateful for our leadership and how they just allow the Spirit to do what it's going to do and not worry about status quo, politically correct hoo-ha. So thank you, Pastor Bob, for that. I appreciate it. So tonight we're going to be talking about the wilderness, and probably a little different perspective than some of you have maybe heard things talked about. And Pastor Bob says all the time that he reads the word different. Like sometimes it's like a story that he can see play out in his head. And I feel very much the same way, that there are stories that if I read them, like I have a movie in my head where I can see it. It's three-dimensional. I can smell it. I'm in it. You know, so like whenever we watch movies like The Chosen and stuff, like when I walk, I'm tired after I watch it because I feel like I was in there, right? And so also I feel like, have you ever been in a situation where you read what you thought you saw? Sometimes we do that with names, like it's actually Raquel, but you'll say Rachel because Rachel's a little more common. Like you read what you think you saw, right? I think sometimes we do that in scripture in the sense of when we've heard a story over and over and over, like the Christmas story or the Easter story, when we're reading it in our daily time, in our own study, right, in our private time, sometimes we are reading what we know is there, rather than really being attentive to what's there. And I've found over these last few years, as I have gotten older and I've just, I guess maybe taken more seriously just how important it is that I have a deep understanding of Scripture, not just a surface understanding. And so, I've told you guys this before. Sometimes I'm driving or I'm working or I'm somewhere and the Holy Spirit will just say a little something to me. Sometimes it's my own random thought, but then once I let it play out a little bit, the Holy Spirit takes over. And so I'll just take my phone out and start recording what's coming out of my mouth. And the even funnier part is my phone will just log it by where I am. So I have little recordings in my phone that say Evangeline Thruway. Congress and Johnston, like, it's the funniest thing. But this particular message, this thing that I'm going to share with you guys tonight comes from one of those moments. I was driving on my way to work. I drive down the thruway every day. Those of you who drive that truck, you'll know that there is a person on almost every corner holding a sign. And I try not to make judgment of why they're there or how they got there, if it's their own fault or somebody else's fault, because that's not up to me. But my heart always just hurts, and I just wonder what their story is. And I long for the day whenever I can just go and sit and talk with them, and I believe that day's coming. But it just got me to thinking, and I remember at one point somebody saying to me that God was mean and that he punished people, and why would I want to serve that God? And I remember thinking in my mind and in my heart, God doesn't punish people. Like, God doesn't do that. And so that thought, in that moment when I'm driving, I thought, and I don't know why, but I looked at that gentleman that day and I was like, I wonder if he thinks this is God's punishment on his life. Like, I wonder if he thinks this is what he deserves. Like, God, just help him to know that you love him. Like, you know, and I begin to think about the wilderness and sometimes how that comes about. I've heard people use that phrase a lot, and they usually refer to something negative. Like, I'm just in a wilderness season, because maybe they're not feeling like they're doing anything productive for the kingdom, or maybe it's just a struggle, right? If I had to equivalent it to something, I'm pretty sure I used that phrase when my kids were graduating high school and becoming adults, and I lost the control that I thought I had. That was like a wilderness, like, I'm not a mom anymore, but I still have to work. Like, I can't just retire because the kids graduated. And so I felt like that's what that was. But I spent some time in Exodus, and I read this story, and there were a couple things that jumped out at me in these last few weeks that I never had realized really before. And so I realized it's Old Testament, but it's Wednesday, so this is like core people. Like, you're the real deal. I can't say anything that's going to scare you, so we're going to go there, okay? So the first thing that I just want to point out, so we're in Exodus chapter 13, right? So this is, the Israelites have been in slavery for 430 years, and on the last day of the 430th year is when God finally delivers them from the hands of the Egyptians, right? And they're walking out. And they have done the thing where they go around and they ask Egyptians for gold and silver. They take flocks with them and herds with them. And they are walking out loaded, ready to go, like, start a whole new life. So that's happened, and we're kind of going from there. So Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 and 18 say this. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness to the Red Sea. He led them in a roundabout way. He didn't take them the shortest distance between two places. He went a roundabout way. And he did it that way because he didn't want them to get discouraged if they came across a battle. I read that and I was like, wow. So sometimes when I feel like I'm going a roundabout way of something and this is taking way longer than I want it to, I need to trust that God's sovereignty is in play. And he knows something that I don't know, and he's helping me to avoid something that may derail me or frustrate me or hold on to me longer and delay the process that he's trying to get me through or the place where he's trying to get me to. And I again, I've read this story, I know this story, but that place where he says, I took him a roundabout way. I took him the long way around. I can't tell you how many times I've said, I wish I'd have gotten saved sooner. I wish I would have found him sooner. Like, I just wish that I could have done it faster. Or I wish I would have, you know, gotten involved in my church sooner. I wish I wouldn't have waited to be comfortable. Or I wish I wouldn't have waited to serve in children's ministry. I wish I'd have just done it whenever I felt it. And so there's this thing that we think, but there's a process that God's bringing us through. And so sometimes he takes us the roundabout way. And this is just kind of a thought that I came to. I said, God knows you. He knows what you are ready for. He is willing to let you take a little longer to get where he's trying to get you. He first wants you, and then he wants to show his glory in your life. And it reminded me of the Red Sea moment, because that's what's about to happen. He has taken them the roundabout way so that they don't have to go through the Philistine territory, so they don't have to get discouraged, right? So he knows they're going to make it to where they're going. And he's setting it all up because he has the Red Sea moment in mind. And he knows what that moment is going to be. And he has a purpose for that moment. And he needs to make sure that they get to that moment in time so that he can get that moment of glory where he is revealed as a sovereign and holy God. I'm going to jump over a little bit and kind of paraphrase this, but in Exodus 14, verses 1 through 4, God's actually given Moses direction, and he tells them to, he says, take them over here and then kind of bring them around over here again. And it's going to make Egypt think they're confused and like they're vulnerable again, is essentially what happens. And so Moses does that, and it does exactly what God wants it to do. But if you read verses 1 through 4 in Exodus 14, there's a statement by God, and he tells Moses, and he says, once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. He's telling Moses, hey, I'm going to do this. It's going to make you look a little bit like an idiot, like you don't know what you're doing. And then I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart again, and he's going to come after you. I just had to park for there for a moment. I'm like, okay, so sometimes, our hard moments, our fearful moments, are God setting us up to be used, right? And so they do just that. They look all confused, and exactly what God wants to happen happens, right? God knew what he had planned with the Red Sea. He knew this would make the Egyptians see his glory and power. God wanted to reveal himself to Egypt, and he used a wilderness moment for his chosen to show them. Here's what, this is going to be hysterical for some of you, and some of you are going to be like, this chick is absolutely weird. So I had a teacher in eighth grade. Her name was Miss Punch. If you went to Scott Middle like 2,500 years ago, you probably had her. And everybody loved her because when she taught on gravity in science class, she was known for this. Matter of fact, I've met her daughter, and we talked about this. She would get a bucket, just a regular mop bucket, filled with water. She would stand on her desk, and she would swing the bucket of water around to talk about centrifugal force, and she would, you know, then she would, like, dump it and let the water go everywhere, talk about gravity, but we would watch with bated breath, like, she's about to spin the bucket, like, what's going to happen? Is she going to do it fast enough? Is it water? You're there, and you're, like, edge of seat moment, waiting for it to happen. And I'm thinking about Israel. They're looking behind him, and all they see is the Egyptians with chariots and charioteers and warriors coming up behind them. And they're just standing there like sitting ducks. And they're just waiting. What is God going to do? What's going to happen? And God does what God does, right? He tells Moses to hold out his staff and touch the water and the walls of the sea. And I'm telling you, there's not a whole lot great about the cinematography of the Ten Commandments, but when they show the wall of water, it amazes me every time. And so you see that moment, and I'm thinking, because God says the Egyptians, not the Israelites, not my people, but the Egyptians, who for us, if we want to make an equivalent, that's the lost, those that don't know God, okay? They're gonna see me and they're gonna know that I'm real. In a moment when God's caring for his chosen, he's guarding them from the Philistine, he's trying to use them and get them to where he's got to get them to the promised land, but all the while he is also using their events and their situations and their wilderness moments to show other people that don't know him how amazing he is. And so tonight really isn't a lesson. Tonight really isn't even what I would call a sermon. But tonight is a charge. A charge is something typically given to like graduates or people going from one season to the next, right? And so my charge for you tonight is, are you willing to allow God to use your wilderness to bring someone else into relationship with him? Are you willing to let his magnificence and glory and deliverance and provision in your life be so exemplified, be so wonderful? And are you willing to stand in it and let him be God so that somebody who has never known him can see what he does in your life and come to know who he is? This is where most people want to stop. When they figure out and find out that I got to go through some stuff and it's going to be for the benefit of other people. Like, I'm cool if I'm going to benefit from it. I'm good if my kids will benefit, for those of us who have kids, and my grandkids, right? I'm even okay if my husband benefits from it. But when we just talking about people, like just people. They don't have names. I don't know who they are. I may work with them. They may annoy me. But I'm going to go through this, and they're going to see me go through this, and it's going to be for them. I tell you, that's where most people stop. Exodus 15:26. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of these diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals. This is what God says to the Israelites after they've crossed the Red Sea, once they're on the other side, and they're starting to grumble and complain. This is after the bitter water is made sweet by the tree, and they're standing, and there's some palm trees. I think it's funny that they talk about palm trees. I'm like, it's like he knows we love the beach. So he talks, and they're sand, right? But anyway, they're kind of there, and they're starting to talk about how they used to have all that they could eat. They used to have all the bread till they were full, and why did you bring us out here, you know, and to kill us, to let us die miserable? And God says, hold on. If you will obey my commands, if you will do what is right in my sight, if you will keep my decrees. Now, mind you, these are the Israelites. These are the people who know him. These are the people who had the instruction. These are the people that understood Yahweh and his presence. And they had seen the cloud and they had seen the fire. They had been delivered from Egypt. They had gone through this, and they are whining about water and like, It baffles my mind, but oh, we are simple, sinful people. And so they're in this season, and this is even funnier, because I think some people call their wilderness, their negative seasons, wildernesses, because the place where they stop is called the wilderness of sin. That's the actual name of the geographical location. You know, so sometimes when we read what we think we saw and we say, oh, they were in the wilderness. There are other people that say things like God put them in the wilderness. It was like it was a punishment. He didn't put them there. They got there, and then they stayed there because of their disobedience. How many places has God tried to bring you through, but you hung out a lot longer than you needed to be because you weren't being obedient? You weren't doing what he asked you to do while you were there. You weren't okay with him using you to help others. You wanted it to be about you. That's the charge. Are you willing to live this world life, not live worldly, but to live in this world for this life? Are you willing to let God do what he's trying to do? Not just for you, but for the benefit of someone who does not know him. This is a personal share, but I'm telling you guys, I left the secular workforce 6.5 years ago, and I didn't think I would ever have to go back. I had served 15 plus years there. The Lord brought me out, put me in full-time ministry. It was amazing. I never ever, you can ask my husband, he's here to give me credit, but I never thought I would be back where I am. And I came home with the mentality that I was being punished, that I had done something wrong, or I had not listened, or whatever, and that this was punishment. I was taken down. And as I read through this story, as I read through the Israelites' story, and I say, okay, maybe this is wilderness, but I'm going to stand up in it. And it doesn't look like what I want it to look like, and most days it doesn't feel like what I want it to feel like, but if it means that there is somebody who might end up in heaven rather than hell because of me being in that office or being where I am ready. Because I can't only want to serve the lost that come to me and want my help. I can't serve only people who think that I'm already there and that really want to give me praise while I'm mentoring them, because that's easy. I'm sure Pastor Bob would agree with me. The people who love you and think the world of you, pastoring them, super easy. It's the people that don't want to know you, that think you're crazy. What do you mean you work all day and go to church on a Wednesday night? What do you mean you're taking an evangelism class? Like, aren't you a pastor? Don't you have a degree already? Blah, blah, blah. They see me be faithful to whatever God asks of me. And I believe with my whole heart that that is powerful. Whenever we're at work and everything's going crazy and everybody's in a bad mood and I'm still walking in joy, that is loud to them. They say it. They're like, girl, I don't know how you still got a smile on your face. Miss so-and-so just said such-and-such and Mr. such-and-such. And I'm like, guys, we're here. We're doing our job. We're helping people. It's going to be okay. Everybody's got a bad day. Let it go. Don't take it personal. Like, those are things they've never heard before, especially since most of them are under the age of 25. No offense. Love you guys. They don't know how to hear, let it roll off your back. They've never said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. They've never said that, right? But the Israelites are in this moment, and God is just saying, I'm giving you the instruction. I'm giving you the direction if you just do that. And we know the story. They don't. But we have to understand that they got to the wilderness because it was part of the journey. The intention God had was for them to go through it and get to the promised land. And they stayed there longer than they were supposed to because of them and because of their choices. I think the wilderness is a picture of God's grace and God's mercy. Because he could have just been like, you know what? You're not listening to me. Egypt, go ahead. But he didn't. He gave them time, and he gave them grace, and he gave them mercy. And Moses got to plead on their behalf time and time and time again. And we get to see them. God is stripping them of the material. He's stripping them of reliance on self. He's trying to get them to have one God and honor and worship no other God but him. He's just trying to work out what we might say, work out their salvation. And they're not hearing it. And so they stay there long enough that the old generation dies off. And the young ones are the ones who get in. It doesn't say that they've got it together. It doesn't say that they were being obedient. But that was the hope that he had. And do you remember? He sends spies over to go check out the land. 10 spies, I believe, is how many go. And they go and they scout the land. And most of them come back and they're like, oh, nope. It's not all that great, guys. There's a bunch of people there. We're going to have to fight. Like, you don't want to do this. But then there's those two. There's always one or two, right? It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's everything that we thought it would be. You need somebody in your life that's going to look at you and say, it's so good. Where we are isn't great, but where we're going, it's so good. We need people in our life to lock arm in arm. There's so many references to being with others, with like-mindedness, to walk through things with us. Because when you're down, you're going to need that encouragement. They're there, and vice versa. And for some of us, our spouses are really good about that. But honestly, we need people other than our spouses for those of you that are married. I'm a woman, and I need another woman, at least one, that's going to stand with me and pray with me and speak the life that I can't see right now. And my husband needs men who will do that for him. That's why community and church is so important. The Israelites were all together. God had them all right there. And I just wonder, why was no one saying, guys, he delivered us? I don't understand it, because I would rather be free and hungry than enslaved and full. But maybe that's just because I've always been free in captivity. Just, it's not something I can comprehend, and Israelites had their fair share of captivities. Or maybe it's because when you've been so far away from God for so long, it's hard to imagine what life is like close to him. I don't know what it was, but I know I don't ever want to be that. I don't ever want to be there. I don't ever want to wish that I could go back to who I was, because where I am is uncomfortable. What a perfect place for God to purify and refine his people. It was a place of instruction, and it was a place of circumcision. See, we oftentimes think of circumcision and we're thinking of on the eighth day, the Jewish boys were circumcised and all those things, and that's all true. But the word teaches about the circumcision of the heart, where we cut away the things of the world, where we shed the things that are not of God, our sin and our previous self before he gets a hold of our hearts, right? And so the Israelites are set up. They're perfect. He's circumcising them of this self-sufficiency. He wants to bring them back to a place of dependency on him, worshiping him. And we know all the things that they did that was not that. I want to look really quick at Exodus 15, verse 1 through 18, and I'm going to read this. Pastor Bob's been doing amazing, because I didn't give him any of my work beforehand of putting everything up. But I want to read this out loud. And how many of you in here really practice taking scripture and praying scripture? It's a really awesome way to pray, especially if you're one of those people. I'm a rambler. I'll just like talk because I love Jesus and I could just talk to him. And then sometimes people like just struggle like what to say, what to pray for, whatever. If you just take scripture, the stuff that talks about you and us and God's people and his chosen and all that, if you just take that and make it your prayer, make it personal, it's super powerful. So I'm in Exodus chapter 15, and this is after the Red Sea's been parted. This is like when things are calming down. God has delivered them from slavery. He's got his little scheme gone. The Egyptians have seen God's glory and his sovereignty and all those things. And the Israelites, they're about to start complaining, but this is kind of the pause in the middle. And this is what it says. I may struggle to get through it, but Moses and the people of Israel the Israelite people sang this song. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has hurled both horse and rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and army he has hurled into the sea. The finest of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters gushed over them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, smashes the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow those who rise against you. You unleash your blazing fury and consumes them like straw. At the blast of your breath, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood straight like a wall. In the heart of the sea, the deep waters became hard. The enemy boasted, I will chase them and catch up with them. I will plunder them and consume them. I will flash my sword. My powerful hand will destroy them. But you blew your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you among the gods, O Lord, glorious and holy, awesome in splendor, performing great wonders? You raised your right hand, and the earth swallowed our enemies. With your unfailing love, you led the people you have redeemed. In your might, you guided them to your sacred home. The peoples hear and tremble. Anguish grips those who live in Philistia. The leaders of Edom are terrified. The nobles of Moab tremble. All who live in Cana melt away. Terror and dread fall upon them. The power of your arm makes them lifeless as stone until your people pass by, O Lord, until the people you purchased pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, you reserved for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, that your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. I'm just saying, if we read that every day, I literally put a little note that I wasn't sure I would say, but it's like a hype song. It is complete, like you can't read that and not recognize how amazing and mighty this event was. And they wrote a song about it. You know what I'm saying? Like that back then was the ultimate. That would be like posting it on Facebook. Right? Like it was post worthy. It was song worthy. That's how they earmarked things. And then the generations would sing it year after year after year when they would celebrate when they crossed the Red Sea. Because God always told them, you know, on this day, every year, you will, you know, celebrate and remember and have a feast and sing these songs because they're your story. They're, and I think about how I sing songs today that my parents grew up with. Because they made sure I knew them. Unfortunately, they're not church songs because my people weren't church people. But what I'm trying to say is I have friends that sing songs that they learned like as eight-year-olds in Bible in little Bible class. They called Vacation Bible Study. I never did that. It's hard for me to remember because I didn't do it. But they would go to VBS and they have those songs now. Like, that's what this was for them. So, like, every year you're singing about that Red Sea moment. Every year you're celebrating. How many times, I'm just telling you guys this, June 22nd of 2008 is the day I was born again. It is the day that I rose out of the grave and became a new creation. And I've prayed, I'm not going to say every day because that would be a lie, but I've prayed so often. God, never let me forget what that felt like that day. That was my Red Sea moment. And every year on June 22nd of 2008, I text the pastor who preached that day. I text the pastor that counseled me and counseled us and helped us. There's a couple people that were instrumental at the beginning, and I text them and I say, it's my birthday. Thank you for what you did. It's not a song, and, you know, I don't post it on Facebook anymore. I did for a long time because, you know, I'm old now and people don't want to hear what I have to say anyway. And I just think to myself, how often do you celebrate that day? Do you remember that moment? And I know some of you may not have a moment because maybe you were raised up in church and you feel like you were always saved, or, you know, like you were little and so there's no. But I know that I know that I know there was a magnanimous moment somewhere where the Holy Spirit fell on you and it was real and it was tangible and it meant so much more than any other time it happened. There's a transition, and I'm reading this story, and I'm thinking, that was a moment, and yet only a few short weeks later, they are complaining, and whining, and frustrated, and shaking their fist at God. Why didn't you just let us die in Egypt, where we were at least fed? And so the charge for you tonight is this. Not only do I want to know if you'll let God use your wilderness or your things in your life to get someone who doesn't know him to know him, are you also willing to stop grumbling and complaining and shaking your fist at God because he's not doing what you want him to do when you want him to do it? Can you celebrate a God who doesn't always do it your way? Who doesn't always make it easier for you? And look, I have said this before, and I'll probably say it 1,000 times more. I don't understand everything. There's stuff that I've been through that I'm like, you know what? I guess I'll just have to wait to heaven to understand that one. But then something tells me once I get there, I'm really not going to care because I'm there. So it's probably mute. But I don't think everything's always explainable. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And his plan and his purpose is that none would perish. When people say things like, I just don't know what God's plan is. I don't know what God's purpose is. God's plan and purpose is that none would perish. And you know that. And it's your job, because you know that, to go make somebody else know that. And it's not by screaming or fussing or pointing out their sin. It's about living your moments, living your losses, and living your griefs, and living your discomfort with joy and steadfast faith, pursuing him no matter what, that they look at that and they say, what in the world? I need to know. People want to be steady. People don't want to be mentally unstable. People don't want to be emotionally inept. People don't want to live miserable. They just don't know that there's something else. They don't understand that there's a God that will part a sea for them. They don't understand that there's a God that will provide manna every single day. They don't understand. But you do. You can't hold on to it. It's not just for you. Your wilderness isn't just for you. And it's not punishment. It's purification. It's growth. It's instruction. And it's what happens just before your promised land. Some people think and say our promised land is heaven. If that's the case, and I could agree with that, that means this life is our wilderness. The whole process of it. He's teaching us how to depend solely on God. Teaching us how to praise him when it hurts. It's called sacrificial praise for a reason. We're the church. We are where people come to get him. But if we don't walk out our lives making people wonder, what do we have that might could help them? If we're grumbling and complaining and whining and moaning right along with them, then what do you have that they would ever want? The Israelites were only damaging other Israelites. At least we can say that about them, because they were just all to themselves, right? But those two that come back and say, it's amazing, it's wonderful, it's beautiful, you would think that would have rallied some people, right? Okay, wait, no. We've been buds. We've been tent camping next to each other. He would never lie to us. If he says it's good, it's good. It's kind of like if Andrew came in here and told most of you guys that something was good, you'd be like, okay, Andrew gave it his like stamp of approval, so we're going to go. But they didn't even do that. So you can be together and not really be in community. You can be in a church and not really have community because you keep to yourself and you always sit in your same spot. You don't really talk to anybody. You don't really sign up for anything because it might be awkward, or there might only be six people, so there's not enough people for you to hide. Because I've come to the conclusion that if there's less than 20 people, everybody's going to get talked to, right? We don't want that. But we need it. We see God deliver them from slavery. He redirects them to make them look confused, but that's really just for the point and purpose to make sure that the Red Sea moment happens so that the Egyptians can acknowledge the sovereignty and power of God. And if the walls of water didn't do that, they're idiots. He gives them the Ten Commandments. They have the presence of God. They experience all of these things while in the wilderness. That doesn't sound bad. I just want you to challenge the thought that wilderness is not punishment. And I charge you to just turn your thinking over to a place where being in the wilderness is just part of the process. And letting people be part of your process and see your process is a good thing. And sometimes, I thought about this just about an hour and a half ago. It was like, so whenever he was making them look like they were confused and they had been boxed in by the wilderness, he was basically making them look unintelligent, like they can't even find their way out of this place, right? But in the end, God gets glory for what he does at the Red Sea moment. And so I wonder if sometimes when God maybe puts us in a situation where we look a fool, it might be because he's doing something. I'm just telling you guys, I had that moment where I was like, there are a lot of people that have looked at me over these last 6 months, 8 months, we've been home, and thought, wow, I thought she was full-time ministry. Wonder what happened. Because, of course, everybody imagines and thinks it's got to be something, moral failure or whatever. I feel like a fool a little bit because I celebrated it. I'm never going to work for the man again. I'm working for God. Right? But I'm okay if the one making a fool out of me is God. Because if I have to take a step back to be in his will, if I have to take a step into a purifying season or refining season so that he can redirect me to where I need to be in this next season of life, man, I trust him. You can't make me doubt him. Nobody can, because I've had my Red Sea moment. And he has given me my manna. He has been my pillar of cloud, and he has been my fire. And I just challenge you, if he's been that for you, where's your song? Where's your song? Are you giving him glory? Are you talking to people at what the good God has done in your life? Are you sharing it? I know sharing testimony is uncomfortable and can be hard, but you know what? There's a way to do it and not embarrass yourself or be inappropriate. Like if you're at work and maybe work would frown upon a two-hour conversation, there's ways that you can, you know, say, you know, like, man, I was feeling a little sick on Monday, but I got prayer at church and I'm feeling great. That's a testimony. That's testifying to the goodness, healing of God. It doesn't always have to be the bearing of soul, right? Those are for intimate moments. Those are for set aside time, but just in your day to day, be joyful. He loves you. I'm going to read something to you guys that, long story short, there's a young lady at my office who is finding her way right now. She got saved about a year and a half ago. She's 24, and she comes from an unchurched family, but she really is pursuing God. She's in a church. She attends regularly. She's done some small groups. And so recently one of her challenges was to have something at work that was signifying that you're a believer. They were challenging them to put something on your desk that would provoke people to be like, oh, you read the Bible, or oh, you believe in that stuff, right? So she got this little devotional that flips, you know, day to day. And she gets a really kick. She pulls us all together. She's like, let me read it for you guys. And I'm like, okay, read it. Tell me what it is. And so this was the 16th. And it was so sweet to see her response. It says this: I'm calling you to a life of thankfulness. I want all your moments to be punctuated with thanksgiving. The basis for your gratitude is my sovereignty. I am the creator and control of the universe. Heaven and earth are filled with my glorious presence. When you criticize or complain, you are acting as if you think you could run the world better than I do. From your limited human perspective, it may look as if I am mismanaging things, but you don't know what I know or see what I see. If I pulled back the curtain to allow you to view heavenly realms, you would understand much more. However, I have designed you to live by faith and not by sight. I lovingly shield you from knowing the future or seeing into the spirit world. Acknowledge my sovereignty by giving thanks in all circumstances. My response, I was like, whew, I need to pull my toes in. And they were like, what do you mean? I was like, whew, sometimes I'm not so grateful. And, you know, they were like, really? Like, we think you're the most positive person here, you know? And I'm like, well, you know, whatever. And she said, it reminded me of the Wizard of Oz when they pull the curtain back and they reveal the man who is not Oz. And she said, I feel like that's what I'm doing right now. I feel like I'm pulling back a curtain of who I thought God was and having an opportunity to see who he really is. And this is really cool. Seven or eight weeks ago, she gave me a little card. She passes out these little cards all the time. It said, I appreciate how you live your faith out loud. It gives me the courage to do the same. I may not be in full-time ministry, but God lives in me, and I can't hide him. And for whatever reason, he has chosen to show himself manifest in my life. And I'm just here to challenge you to do the same. Do the same. Sing your song of praise. Be grateful. Be thankful out loud. Let people see into your wilderness. See what God is doing. Get people in your circle and in your tribe, as has come the new thing. But don't just have a tribe for a tribe's purpose. Have a tribe of women who will pray with you, or men, sorry, I keep forgetting about the guys, that will pray for you, when you know how you should pray for them, but they don't want you to pray that way, and you're like, honey, this is what you really need, because the Lord speaks to people who are listening. And sometimes when we're going through something, we're not listening. We're hearing our thoughts. We're hearing our frustration. I can't tell you how many times I've had friends of mine put a hand on me and start to pray. And I'm like, I don't want you to pray like that. But Lord, I'm just going to shut up. Because it's what I needed. A little bit of rebuking, right? Lord, help her with her discontentment. We are here on a Wednesday night because we believe that this is it. And so if this is it, and God says that he wants no one to perish, who are you sharing it with? Who are you sharing it with? I want to just ask for a little liberty to call you all to just stand and pray and ask God to show you, just to show you, God, where are my things that you're working on in this wilderness life, right? Because I'm just going to call it that. What do you want me to work on? What are you trying to fix that I'm not being sensitive to? What are you trying to circumcise out of my life or circumcise out of my thoughts or my heart? What thought patterns? Where have I believed the lie? God, cut it away and let your truth penetrate. So if you can, and if you would, I'm going to start us off in prayer. And I believe that God wants to do something in some people's hearts. There needs to be an awakening. Revival is in your heart. It's not just a service. It's not just an event. You should carry it with you everywhere you go. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you did for the Israelites. Thank you for writing this down so that we could read it thousands of years later and allow it to penetrate our hearts to see who you have always been. Father, we know that you have purposed us to be here. Your word tells us that you knit us together in our mother's womb. You have predestined us. You have called us. You have set us apart. And Father, we have called out to you and received the salvation of our life. So God, we ask you today, refine us, Lord. Pour out your fire and burn away what is not of you. Circumcise our hearts for what's not of you, God. Change our mindsets to be biblical and holy mindsets, God. Let us not live a life just to be saved, but let us live a life in pursuit of holiness so that when people see us and are with us, they have experienced you. Jesus, we need your presence. We need to walk in your spirit. Holy Spirit, fill us up. Pour out fresh oil on us, Lord, that we would have boldness to share what you have done in our lives, Lord God. Father, help us to have a song of gratitude. Lord, not everyone in this room is called to write songs or be a worship leader, but God, we have a song, and it is our life, and it is our gratitude. I'm so thankful for your provision. Father, inspire us through your word. Challenge us through your word. Let us read what is there and allow the Holy Spirit to develop it. Let us not be complacent, Lord. Father, remind us that all the people before us that had to live a life faithful and serving you that didn't have the word, we are so blessed. We are so well taken care of. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We are so grateful. You are so good. Your sovereignty is beautiful. Your sovereignty is beautiful, and we trust you. Use our moments. Lord, make a fool out of me if it saves one person. Oh, Father, we want to make heaven crowded. Give us your heart that we would live as though we wish none would perish. Whew. Stop us in our tracks, Lord. Stop us in our mediocrity. Stop us from checking boxes. Wipe away the scales, Lord. Let us see ourselves where we truly are and commit to seeking after you with our whole heart, pursuing a life of holiness. Lord, let us be thermostats that set the room, not just thermometers who read the room. When we walk in, God, as your soldiers, as your ambassadors, as your presence walks in with us, that rooms would shift, that the demonic and the negative would flee because you have come into the room. Father, that you would raise up prophets of this house,
that would speak glorious wonders of what is to come in your kingdom. Send out missionaries, God, from this body that will take your gospel to every corner, close and far. Father, grow our men's ministry. God, call brothers together to pray for each other, to encourage each other. Let the iron sharpen iron, even if sparks may fly. Father, build our women's ministry. Lord, I'm reminded that it was the women that served and did things to pay for the ministry of Jesus, to help fund the ministry of Jesus. The woman was made to be Adam's helpmate. The church is the body of Christ, and we are the helpmate. We have a place, and we have a purpose. So God, speak to the hearts of the women. Speak to their gifts and their talents, that we would stand. Father, we ask your blessing on our children's ministry. The teenagers, Lord God, and even the preteens, Lord, the world that they are going into, most of us in this room could not survive. But God, we know that you have already gone before them. You have already set a path that is straight and narrow for them, but it is possible with your presence. So God, I pray for the ministry that is upstairs right now, Lord God, that you would continue to inspire the leaders, that you would continue to work in those kids' lives, Lord God, that you would continue to protect them and guard them from this world until they are ready to be sent out into it, Lord God. Father, that you would raise up men and women of God through that youth room. God, that you would be glorified in their lives, Lord Jesus. And Father, even in the little itty bitty teeny tiny ones, God, you have a purpose and a plan for them. Help us to be a church that will cultivate them and raise them up to find their full potential in who you have called them to be, God. And Lord, as a church, that we be reminded to lift our pastor up every chance we get as he stands before us and takes all the darts and all the fiery arrows of the enemy, God, praying for us and watching over us faithfully, God. We ask that you protect him, God, that you provide for him, God, that you watch over he and Miss Amanda, God, that their health would be stronger in this year than it has ever been, God, that you would speak a new song over their life, Lord God, that they would continue to walk in your favor and blessing as they have for so long, God. And God, raise us, those of us up that can help, God, so that they can begin to enjoy what they have so hardly worked for, God. Lord, your blessing and your favor over the man of God and woman of God of this house. Bless them, Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. Holy Spirit, continue to minister even as we leave. I pray tonight that someone, maybe more than one, would wake up in the middle of the night, ready to write their song. Father, I pray for a spirit of gratitude to fall on us. And as we go where we go tomorrow, that you would be evident to those around us. Protect our church, Lord, but ultimately use our church, Lord, that we would be a beacon of hope and light for anyone who looks in this direction. We pray to be used by you, Lord. We thank you for tonight. We pray blessing over each person who's here. We pray blessing over the rest of our week until we meet again on Sunday, Lord. As we go from this place, bless every word we speak and every person we encounter. Let us be your ambassadors in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much for being here. I think Pastor Bob has something because he's walking towards me.
She did an awesome job. Thank you. Appreciate that. It's a good word. It was a real good word. And I'm not going to preach, but I just want to add an addendum. That's a fancy word that means I want to add something onto it. You mentioned, and I know where you're coming from, because Phoebe is a credentialed member of the Assemblies of God. In fact, I was on the committee that approved her credentials a few years ago. And so I know what she meant when she was saying full-time ministry. She's talking about, because she was in full-time ministry, Teen Challenge, working with women. But I've said this before, and we need to change our thinking a little bit and understand that whatever God has called you to, that is your ministry. We need to change the idea, and I'm not saying you are saying that, but this is something I just keep hammering home with people. If God calls you to a university, or God calls you to work in a hospital, or he calls you to be a lawyer, he calls you to be a plumber, he calls you, whatever he calls you to do, that's your ministry. That's what you're called to do. And you're going to be stand before God and give an account of how you do that. And it doesn't mean that you'll always be doing that, because there are seasons in our lives that change, and doors and opportunities come along. And then when that happens and the peace of God leads us that way, then God's saying, you've been faithful in the little bit I gave you. Now I'm going to give you more. And so see where you are as your place of ministry. I remember a lady came to me one time and said, please, Pastor, pray God give me a different job. I hate my job. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I said, why do you hate it? She goes, all the people there, they don't know the Lord, and they're horrible, and I just hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I said, don't you see why you're there? I said, because they're dark. They're in darkness. You're the light. I said, but as long as you have that attitude, you're never going to shine light. You're never going to reach them. And she just could not get that. She just was like, please pray. I said, I will not pray. In fact, I'll pray God just keep you there. I said, so don't ask me to pray for you, you know. And she was like, well, some pastor you are. And I'm like, well, until you learn the lesson, you need to stay where you're at, you know. And it's true. And I think it's interesting that you talked about singing your song. Because God will give you songs for seasons in your life. And this morning in prayer, the thing that was my burden from 4:30 this morning, and I was weeping and crying up here. As I went back and sat down, God gave me a verse, and I began to sing it for the last 20 minutes of prayer time. It's just me and him, and it was my song. And all day today, I got home. I said, God, don't let me forget that song. And I got home, and I forgot it. And I said, Lord, bring it back. And then I remembered it, got my phone out, recorded it. I started to do that this morning, but it was up here because I had been kneeling up here, and I was sitting back over there. And I've been singing that song all day because it's the burden on my heart. And I thought, when you said that, I said, man, God, thank you for that confirmation of that song. Because sometimes that song is a song of rejoicing, like you said. That's like a Jericho march song. And other times it's a song where our heart is broken and we're grieving and we're like, where, oh God, are you? Move among your people or whatever. So the song may change from time to time, but when he gives it to you, sing it. Sing it till he gives you another one, you know. And Then the last thing is, right when service was starting, Lisa Hebert texted me and said that she wasn't able to come tonight. She had had another small seizure. They're trying to pull her off the steroids, and every time they do, it seems like she has a small seizure. And so she said, would you please have everybody pray for me? And then she said, Pastor Bob, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. Well, I believe in miracles. I'm a walking miracle. I mean, because when doctors told me I'd be paralyzed the rest of my life, I said, no, that's not going to be that way. And right before church, somebody had sent this to me, and I posted it on our private Facebook group, and it just says, when prayer becomes your habit, miracles become your lifestyle. And so I told her, we will pray for her. We'll pray for her tonight. So why don't you stand together, if you're able to stand, and can we just take a moment and pray? Lisa, I know you're watching, and we love you, and we're praying, and we're standing with you. Father, she said she needs a miracle. And so, God, we agree with her right now. Father, we come against every abnormality in her body, every part of her body that is unhealthy. God, we speak life and health to her body right now, healing in her body right now. Father, we speak a miracle, a restorative miracle in her body right now. And let the peace of God rule her heart. Let it govern her heart. No matter what she hears, what she feels, God, let that peace just settle upon her. That God, you are in control. And we even heard that tonight. When things that are happening, we don't understand. Why am I have to go down this road? I remember when James Reed was going through the process of treatment for cancer. God, and we say, why is that happening? But Lord, every time he was in that cancer ward and getting in treatment, he had a captive audience that he was preaching to, and he was sharing the love of Jesus to, Lord God. And Father, I never saw so many people gather when he rang that bell, because he had touched so many lives. Father, you allowed Paul to be thrown into a Philippian jail in the dungeon, Lord, just to reach one man that his family might be saved. And then the next day he's set free. God, it's not about us. It is about you and your purpose and your plan. Help us change our focus, Lord God, from all about us to all about you, Lord. And we thank you for that. We just praise you. And if there's any other needs here tonight, Father, we just pray right now. You know the heart cry. You know the need. You know the circumstances. And we just agree as brothers and sisters in Christ right now. God, move in such a way that brings glory and honor to your name, that it is unmistakable that you accomplished it. For your glory, and we'll give you the testimonies in Jesus' name. Amen. I would just ask you between now and not this weekend, but the following weekend, when Dr. Dennis will be here beginning on week from Saturday night at 6 o'clock, then Sunday at 10:30, and then Sunday night at 6. Would you please consider taking time to fast and pray? Just specifically for those three services. So he'll be here the last weekend, last Saturday and Sunday of this month. So between now and then, pick a day, pick a time, a meal or whatever, fasting and praying that God would move in a powerful way, and that it would impact so many people's lives. And then you need to help us get the word out. And you know, hey, social media can do so much, that's all. But you know what does more than that? It's people. people inviting people, saying, "You come." The woman at the well, she said, "Come meet a man who told me everything about my life." And the town came out. And when the town came and they heard Jesus, what did they say? "We believe now, not because of what you said, but because we have heard him." And that's what we want God to do. Okay? So God bless you. We love you. See you Sunday.